Hello, it is Friday, March 27th, 2015. Roland.
And Dale.
We're here at Archive by @Revolver_Coffee. And we're going to talk about Desert Island Discs. Apparently, surprisingly, well, not surprisingly, depending on your point of view, Dale's not into the whole audio pop music thing.
No, it's not that I'm not into it. I'm not an aficionado. I do not have.
You don't have to be an aficionado. You just have to like music.
I like music well enough, but I don't have a big collection of music. I don't even like own a home stereo.
Who cares about that? I'm talking about audiophile. I'm talking about. If you were to went to a desert island, which three discs would you bring?
I couldn't pick. I would try and jam out. I did try and jam out. It's like, maybe I'll go for a compilation. But you said discs, so...
I was going to exclude compilations, but you can include them.
I really could not decide. I literally could not decide. Music is so...
You like so many of it? Is it the fact that you like so many things?
Right?
Yeah.
So, like... I don't know what I'm going to need on a desert island.
It's pretty cool, actually.
Okay.
And particularly with, like, you know, so many of the good albums are kind of theme-based, so you can't even, like, pick your I'm going to kick ass today album, or I'm feeling sorry for myself album, or...
Oh, actually, speaking of angst and feeling sorry for yourself, two of my picks are sort of angsty.
So go for it.
And they're not in order, and these are just sort of, you know, how I do things, Dale. It's sort of stream of consciousness. I don't really think about it too much, but I would definitely say, speaking of angst and worry and emo, the masters of emo, the Smiths, their eponymous album called The Smiths, released in 1982. I can't actually listen to this album anymore. Because I'm no longer an angsty teenager. Clarification. I can listen to it, but it's like... listening to or looking back at an old version of yourself. However, it's nostalgic, and I loved it, and it was the first sort of emo rock thing. Morrissey's ridiculously over the top but awesome. Johnny Marr is amazing on guitar, and this just sort of hit me with, you know, my teenage me, my 17-year-old self, or was it 18? The other angsty record that I love is... Tears for Fears, The Hurting, when they were all electronica.
Oh, those were awesome.
My friend Kevin bought it as an import from the UK because he was a hipster when there was no such thing as a hipster. But yeah, I love those albums. I think I could listen to them on a desert island if and only if I was allowed to bring the third pick, which is a happier pick. A jazzy pick. Ella Fitzgerald sings the Duke Ellington songbook. Three records. So I guess my failed in my own meeting my own criteria. Three records, 1957. Basically, any collaboration, and there were more. Any collaboration between Duke Ellington and Ella Fitzgerald is a gold mine if you're into that kind of jazz kind of. Thinking man's jazz, yet you can still dance to it, awesome vocals. Duke Ellington really to me is like, and I only discovered Duke Ellington in the 1990s, it's in 97, 95, something like that, probably 95. Duke Ellington really to me is like, and jazz in its entirety is like the classical music of the New World. You can dance to it. You can go to church with it if you're into that, which I'm not. You can.
Jazz has so many subgenres.
You can.
Some I really enjoy.
Duke had sort of atonal moments, things that would sort of stretch your.
Some of that stuff I don't appreciate.
Most
so
of Duke's stuff,
jazz.
Though, is melodic piano, symphonic dance. Not all of it you can dance to, but. And they would add the vocals later, and Ella Fitzgerald sort of improvised all the time on top of Duke's instrumentals. And, of course, Billy Strayhorn, who was the piano, sort of the less publicized, better half of Duke Ellington and his music. But yeah, or Partner in Crime. So those three records I could listen to. That'd be, well, they're not really three records. Well, The Smiths is one record. Tears for Fears, The Hurting is one record. Change being my favorite song, and because everyone changes, right? And you can change. But the Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald sings the Duke Ellington songbook is a three record thing. Three record set. But, yeah. Do you like Ella Fitzgerald?
She has a great voice. I have like some of her songs.
She can be a little bit
the moodier jazz. I'm not so keen on, and I don't understand what genres of jazz, if genre is the right word for it, of jazz I like and which I don't. So I can't really.
Do you have a favorite
have a good discussion.
Jazz record or jazz singer or jazz song?
No, not that I know of. I mean, lots of stuff that I like, and occasionally, you know, like one song, like "It's a Wonderful World." Is it a Wonderful World? "Trees of Green." It gets used all the time. Like that. That's a beautiful song.
You mean like Gershwin? There's lots of Wonderful World songs.
And there's a particular one I'm thinking of, sung by a jazz singer, Armstrong, I think. Great bass voice.
I mean, we could do 30 minutes on Louis Armstrong, or Louis, depending on which version of his name you would prefer to use. But
and then there's a whole class of world music I love. Like, I hear it, and it resonates with me.
Yep.
I have no idea. I do not have the vocabulary to describe it.
Well, you don't need to. You don't need to pretentiously describe everything.
Well, but in terms of, like, trying to have a conversation with people about, I like this, I don't like that.
Yeah. The reason we like African music, one of the many reasons that you and I would like African music, is that a lot of it is in blues and rock and roll, Lindy Hop, swing, jazz.
Yeah, well, it was one of the...
You can directly trace it back as a musicologist.
There's an Enya single I would take with me, in great part because she borrows from that with the harmony.
Which Enya single? Can you remember?
Sail Away.
Has African harmony?
Orinoco Flow, sorry.
Orinoco Flow has African harmony?
I don't know about that. Well, I'm maybe just describing it, but to me it has hints of it, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Like in the sound.
Yeah, oh, sorry, I thought I broke my lanyard, but I did not. And how about
I'm being so
angst music? So or did you have a happy actually, teenagehood and you didn't need angst music?
Van Halen in the era of Jump. They had some great tunes.
I am not a Van Halen fan. However, Jump is a magnificent song. And Eddie Van Halen is an amazing guitarist.
And there was a U2 album that I really liked.
Which one?
The
U2 Guilty Pleasure, disclosed here by Roland and Dale. I like
U2
too.
There you go. The one with, what is that?
Boy, I Will Follow. In the Name of Love.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably In the Name of Love is one of the songs.
That would be a Joshua Tree.
The Bloody Monday.
Oh, Sunday Bloody Sunday. That's
Sunday Bloody Sunday.
That's New Year's Day
you know,
War. That's the War album.
And
you know, I saw U2
and then there's the Pogues,
in Toronto.
Right?
I saw U2 in Toronto for the War tour. Back when they weren't the world's biggest rock and roll band.
You know, and maybe now I'm spoiled by our digital age, right? Like, because what you really want is your Desert Island mixtape.
Maybe you should do that. Maybe we should have that as a future topic. Share your mix and whatever from whatever service you want, Spotify or, I don't know, Google Play Music or Groove Shark, and let me know what your mix is.
Your Desert Island mixtape, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we got 30 seconds on the recording front. In a few weeks, we will not be here next Friday. Not that anybody cares except you and me. We will be back on the 13th of March.
I care.
Hopefully with a brand new mic. That super awesome, ridiculously expensive mic that will improve the sound quality dramatically. So, signing off from Archive by Revolver Coffee, I'm Roland.
And I'm Dale.
See you on March 13th.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, tschüss.